It's actually, you deserve the applause, because if it weren't for you, we could not do anything. I want to, first of all, just thank God for Townies Baptist Church, for my dear Pastor Joe West, who years ago, when I first came here in 1987, it's actually 86, October of 86, y'all was having your missions conference, and I had never seen anything like it in my entire life. It was so awesome. It was so awesome. And that Sunday afternoon, I came forward, and I told Brother Joe, I know the Lord wants me to come here. I've been called to the mission field, but I need a pastor who would back me up and support me. And he said, sure, I'd love to have you. Just come on with your family and sit down. And so he made me sit for 3 years. To do that, I had to pay off all my bills. I had to get a job. During that period of time, I was struggling. In my heart, I was struggling. I never wanted to be a missionary. I was raised on the mission field. I hated the mission field. I hated it because I never had roots. I never had a family. You guys have high school. You have grade school. You have all that stuff that you can go back to and remember your kids and your friends that you grew up with. I never had any of that, just me and my family. My dad would move us from place to place. So I really did not want to be a missionary. I remember coming to the altars and trying to say, God, there's a lot of work can be done here. I could be Spanish ministries. How many Spanish ministries are there here, brother? There's just thousands of Spanish ministries. I go down to the valley, and brother, there is nothing but Hispanic people. Now we're being invaded. There are more Hispanic people in the United States than anywhere else in the world. Did you know that? This is the largest country of Spanish-speaking people in the world. You didn't know that. It used to be the second highest. Mexico was the highest. But now it's changed. Now the United States has become, finally overtaken Mexico as the largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. It blows your mind, don't it? Lord, why can't I just stay here? But the Lord never gave me peace. Matter of fact, that one last conference, I told Amy, I'm not going to, you know, every year, you know, Brother Joe would make all the missionaries stand up, and who are the missionaries that are here? And I used to stand up. I'm out of town, East Baptist Church, going to, at the time I was going to Chile, I think, wasn't it? Chile. And I told Amy, I says, I don't think I'm going to stand up this year. I decided I'm not going to go. I never saw so many tears. Her heart was broken because I didn't know that behind there, Amy had been struggling for a long time. One day while she was praying for her parents, her mom and dad, and what she was saying was, God, just send someone to my house to knock on the door, to talk to my mom. And God has spoken to her heart, said, you want me to send someone, but you don't want to go? And that's when her surrender came. Lord, if that's what it's going to take, I'll go. Because she didn't want to be a missionary either, by the way. But then Brother Joe got up that morning and preached, he that puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of me. And that hit me hard. But it was when Brother Larry got up that night and he preached the message that why the Israelites died in the wilderness. Because they were afraid of the giants. God had promised them great territory. And they found out it was true. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. There was everything that God promised was there except he lied to them. He told them there were giants. He didn't tell them about the giants. And so therefore, not wanting to go, God sent them to the wilderness to die. And that was what message Brother Larry says. If you don't want to serve the Lord, then there's only one place to go. If you don't obey the Lord, there's only one place to go. Go to the wilderness and die. That scared me. That terrified me to death. So I went down and fell on my face and said, Lord, if that's what it is, then I'll go. He talked to Amy, he talked to me. And we arrived in Peru. I left my job at Tom's Peanuts. I don't know if you guys even remember Tom's Peanuts. But I was making good money, by the way. I was making $500 a week. I never made that kind of money in my entire life. I didn't know that kids ate that much candy. But I just walked in on February, first day of February. I just handed my keys and said, I'm not working here. I'm going to the field, going to mission field. They laughed at me. Yeah, sure. And that's true. I left out of here. Townie supported me $100 a month. That was my support. I don't know if you ever went from $500 a week to $100 a month. Thank God for some people. There was a precious, precious lady that offered us to stay in her house for free. It was a real nice, beautiful. But still, $100 a month. We went through some horrifying. But see, you have to go to the desert. You cannot serve the Lord until you've gone to the desert. That desert experience is one of the greatest experiences in a Christian's life. Because God teaches you there that I am the one who supplies your needs. We become so dependent upon ourselves. And therefore, we went. Finally, in 93, celebrated our anniversary, our 20th anniversary. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. But our 20th anniversary celebrated by landing in Peru. We went to Huancayo. Barbie celebrated her 15th year birthday. And then we went down to the southernest part of Chile, Puerto Montt, Chile. Took over a work there. I hated it. No, I just hated it. You know, it's not your work. It's someone else's work. And God sent us to where no one else has labored. And there's where I traveled. I took a bus, and I traveled from Puerto Montt, Chile. Now, you got to understand, Puerto Montt is where Santiago, go to Santiago, and just keep going south all the way down until you come to a place called Puerto Montt. It's cold. I think one month out of the year, the sunshine shines and brightly and sweety. But most of the time, it's cloudy. And then when it rains, it storms, it's nasty. And the people are just as cold. That's true. I don't know what it is. They just stay in the house. They don't want to come out. So the people by nature are cold natured. And so I took a bus. Not that, hey, there was a church there. And by the way, there are people that serve there that love it. But I'm a Texan. I'm sorry. I just can't handle cold misery of weathers. I can't even go to Huancayo. Huancayo, you saw that picture of all the preachers up there. And Huancayo is a beautiful place, by the way. Amy's from Huancayo. But every time we go there, she passes out. It's too high for her now. It's way up there. Sometimes you're preaching up there and you just don't have air. Well, that's amazing. You know how we need the oxygen when we preach, you know. And there's I throw back on the wall and just have to stop and wait until I can get my breath again. That's Huancayo. But in Puerto Montt, anyway, I drove. From there, I went to Huancayo to visit her family. And it took us 3 days, 4 days by bus. We stopped. We went from Puerto Montt to Santiago to Arica. And then crossed the border. Went from there to Lima and then from there to Huancayo. And I fell in love with Arica. Oh, I came back here. The story of that coming back, I had quit the missionary field. I decided I hated it. I didn't like it. I knew it. I was a failure. I was not good. And I stepped into Brother Larry's office. And I was going to tell him, Brother Larry, I made a mistake. I quit. But he didn't let me say that. I said, Brother Larry, I need to talk to you. And he said, yeah, but while we talk, let's go. We're going to a church, a missions conference. So I want you to come with me. I mean, that quick. I was in his office. He walked. I said, okay, let's go. And there's some missionary. We went to Shady Acres Baptist Church. And there this missionary from Germany got up and preached the message. And the message was on Saul. And Samuel. And Samuel said, you did not well. You do not well. You should wait. Brother, God told me, what am I doing? Just wait. You don't quit. That's another experience I had to have. Pastors, missionaries know that sometimes God guides us through those areas so that we learn. We have to learn. It's always a growing experience. It always is. You never get, because if you're going to You're going to start a work. This is not just taking over a church, which is difficult. I can imagine, brother. I can imagine how difficult that is. I've never had to do that. I started my own works. It's easier that way, by the way. Your people become yours. I baptized all those. You saw that crowd in that church when we ordained that person right there? The majority of that people I baptized. And I had to leave it. I came here on my last furlough crying because I had to leave that church. God wouldn't let me stay there. He said, no, it's not yours. Boy, that hurts. I invested on my own money about $40,000 building that church, that building. I spent hours and countless hours with those people. And man, you understand, these are my babies. I mean, I don't know what you guys know that, but they I raised them, I baptized them, I taught them, spent years crying tears. When God says, it's time to go, bye-bye. He kicked us out of Chile, just literally. Barbie lost her husband, if you remember. And my washing machine, my dryer, everything started breaking down. My stove busted out. God literally said, get out of here. And we left. Came here, and I had my heart attack. I told the people there when I was left. I said, maybe this is where I'm going to go. I'm going back to the States, and I'll die. And I did. I don't know why God brought me back to life, but that's just the truth. You guys don't understand. It's the truth. I got here about a year. But the Lord gave me life again. And now we're in Peru. What are we doing in Peru? We established a new church called the Maranatha Baptist Church. We don't have a building. It's hard work. People, you're going into a place that's Catholic. You have to understand and comprehend something that's very difficult to understand. You're not dealing with evangelical thinking people. Most Americans, most people that live in America understand the concept of a church. They may not go to church, but they understand the concept of a church. They understand that you go to church, you pay your tithe and your offerings, and all these things are just simply something that's understood. Whereas in South America, Catholic churches are different. You go to a Catholic church for a specific reason. You're going to get married, or you have a dead one you're praying for, because remember, the Catholic Church has masses, misas. It's called mass. What's it called? Mass? It's called a mass. And the mass is only a prayer for the dead. Because they teach in the Catholic Church that there's a place called purgatory. That when you pass away, your soul goes to a place called purgatory for cleansing. However long it is depends on how wicked you were when you were alive. Well, that would have kept me there for centuries. Because the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, they can't get this concept. So what you're doing is you're going there, you're changing their way of thinking, their concepts. They love to come to church, so you have to have something to draw them in. And then once you do that, you have to, and the best way to do it is be a friend. That's the hardest thing for some people. They don't like to be friendly, do they, brother? But the only way you're going to catch them is you have to be a friend. You have to befriend them. Sometimes you have to just simply invite them to come into your house and eat a meal. Amy's learned to cook some good meals. And they become your friends. And then by that, you talk to them. Some come with needs. Boy, I'm telling you what. Everybody has needs. Amen? Everybody has a need. And it's so nice that God is able to supply that need for the moment through you. You see, what you don't understand about a missionary is it's not your money and the church's money. It's really nice to have the church backing you. But in our case, we don't have that. We have to supply all the needs. And that is why we need money. I mean this with all my heart. We need money. I need to raise my support $1,000. That's what I'm doing here right now. And so you'll comprehend and understand what I'm getting at. Anyway, I just wanted to say, Town East, you support me $500 a month. Thank you. May God bless you. And not only me, but you supply all your missionaries. And you have, I think, 5 missionaries out of this church. How many are there? Barbie, I don't know, 3 or 4. I know David from you, you're out of this church. And on top of that, look how many missionaries you support. I say, God bless you. And I love you and I kiss you on the lips. And may the Lord do the same for all of you. I mean that. No, it's okay. The Bible says that's a holy kiss. But it's a, may the Lord kiss you. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You ever heard that verse? John chapter 4, 34 through 38. I guess I heard it the first time through Brother Larry. It's one of his favorite messages that he would preach. But God showed me something while studying this passage that is found in verse 38. But I want to read the whole thing. And then we'll pray and ask God's blessing. And then I'll try to get us through this as quickly as possible. It is now 7:30. Nobody wants to be here past 8. I promise you, I'll get you out before midnight. No, I will probably. I'll try to get as quickly as I can. I mean it. But I'd really want to just share this thought with you. So as you remember, I'll be here for the conference. And I hope to enjoy the conference. This is my home church, I believe I ought to be here for the conference when I'm here. Amen? But I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be traveling. I'm not going to be here on Wednesdays or Sundays because I got to be in other churches. You must understand, not that I don't want you to be here, not that I love your message, brother, that when I heard you preach, I enjoyed it. I'm so glad I got to meet you. I really was scared to death of you. No, it's just that when you're used to a certain kind of person, Brother Joe, I knew Brother Larry, but I had no idea how you were, and I was terrified. But now that I know you, brother, I've got peace, and I will pray for my pastor. And this is something that you guys don't understand. I am not out of a mission board. I'm out of Town East Baptist Church. I'm an apostle out of this church. Apostle simply means sent out one. I hope don't get all confused with that expression. Oh, he's calling himself apostle. Well, the Bible gives first apostles, and that just means those that are sent out, and then he puts pastors, evangelists, right? And the fact is this, I am your apostle. You sent me out. And I have a certain responsibility towards this church, and that is to be truthful. The Bible says that I'm to be come here with truth in my lips. What has God actually done? Here, Barbie put this all together. I hope we get a new edited version because it looks like in Chile all we do is have vacation Bible schools. That's not true. We had a church in Chile, but for some reason, all the pictures she put up for my... She said, we were in Chile for this time and all was pure vacation Bible schools. And I said, my goodness, Barbie, we had so much. We had a lot of baptisms. I mean, we had a lot of baptisms there, but she didn't have a single baptism. She had a single thing that worked, but she was in a hurry. But she says she's editing it. So she'll send me a new one, and then when we get the new one, brother, I'll give it to the church. So maybe during the conference you can show that one. I like that song, by the way, is written by my brother Paul. You saw my brother Paul sitting beside me? His son wrote that song. And it's a beautiful song. He's a songwriter. And I'm very proud of him. I'm saying that because I'm proud of it. I thought it was a beautiful song. Okay. Verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, that is very important. You ought to underline that one, because it's not talking about me. It's not talking about any individual. There's only one that sows, and that's the Son of God. The Bible says, he is that sow goeth forth is the Son of Man. One soweth, and another, that is us, reapeth. Now I wish to give you this thought. I sent you. I sent you to reap. Put a period there. That is the commission. That is the command. I sent you to reap. Now, obviously, the other stuff is added to it, but the commission, the command is, I sent you to reap. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, in Jesus' name, once again, Father, I come to you asking for mercy to the hearers of your word. Open our understanding. Help us understand what the Spirit wants to say tonight. Bless this church. Bless all that are here today, tonight. We ask your blessings and all that's done in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When we talk about the commission, we have a commission that God gives the church. We know it in Matthew 28. The commission is go into all the world, preach the gospel. And then it says, not only that, we're supposed to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we're supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then the promise, and lo, I am with you always until the end of the earth. Amen. Everybody knows the commission. That is what the church is supposed to do. If a church is not fulfilling this, it's not a church, it's a mission. I hope this is well understood. A church has to be an independent body fulfilling the commission of the Lord, the Christ. Otherwise, we're not really a church. We're mainly a body of people that are just having a good fellowship time. But see, there's supposed to be the heart of Christ, because if Christ is the head of the church, then he also has his heartbeat in this church. And his heartbeat has always been, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the idea of church that he gave. And Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now, the comparison that Jesus gave is as. That is a terrible comparison. How did the Father to give his life a ransom for many? Does that mean that he's not saying that that's what he sent us for? He said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. But brother, that's, man, I'm supposed to give my life? Yes. Your life belongs to him. And the problem and our greatest failures in our churches today is that we do not have the vision of Christ. We have hardened our hearts. We have let our own needs and our lust and all the things that cover us obscure us from the truth. He said, lift up your eyes. I love Brother Larry's manners. You remember his message always. When he said that, he saw the people coming. Remember that? I just love that expression of his. But see, we sometimes are so into ourselves. We live in a world that's so closed off. And we do not see. I always say, every person, especially in the church, and I wish this church would do me a favor, and that's send someone once in a while to give me encouragement. Send a pastor, or the pastor send Brother somebody, when your brother came, you came. Remember that, Jilly? You know how encouraged I was? I was very encouraged. I was saddened because all the work, and excuse me, I'm not bitter. I wish this is, my wife says, you always sound like you're bitter or angry. I'm not. I really am not. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God letting me do what I do. It's the greatest job on the earth. It's just like pastoring the Town East Baptist Church. It's a great job, is it not, brother? And I'm sure that each one of you that have your ministries know that this is the greatest job in the world. You're not bitter, but how nice it is when there's a, see, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is confirmed, right? And I come and I say, this is what I did. Well, I'll take your word for it. How sad that is. When you can say, well, brother, you were there. You remember whenever? Brother, you were there. You remember? See what I'm saying? When Brother Larry came back, at least he said, well, we had a good time. Matter of fact, Brother Joe gave me a $100 love offer. I'll never forget that. He didn't need to, but he just did it. It was really encouraging. The problem is, what I'm trying to get at is, we have a commission, but now this is a command. This is, goes to individuals. And this is very difficult to swallow. Because many people say, I cannot reap. I don't know how to reap. Well, the Bible gives us a way out. And this is where Philippians comes in place. Philippians chapter 3. I love this book. Because God gives us opportunities. I'm going to do this chapter 12. I'm 4, verse 10 and ahead. This is very important because the command is, I sent you to reap. Now, Christ is going to ask you for your, one day we'll stand before God and each individual will have to give an account. Do you believe this or not? It's in Corinthians, by the way. The pastor will give an account for his work. His wife will give an account of how you were a wife to the pastor, not how you were a woman or wife. Believe it or not, that's how God wants, understands this. This is what Christ is going to do. But to each individual, woman and man, there's a command. Some say, but brother, I'm not good at winning souls. Well, there's a way. You can buy. Did you know you can buy your harvest? It's a biblical term. People forget, you don't get away with it, but God gives us a way, because it should be on the heart of every Christian. Christ said, and we are to be obedient to the word of God. It should not be a question. It should be a way of, what do I do, Lord? Here he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I heard my pastor saying this just last Wednesday, I think it was. I know how to, both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent me once and again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound. Where? In your account. That's what the missions program is all about. This is what it's all about. God has given us the privileges of winning souls, because one day we'll stand before the glorious King of eternity and we will give accounts. Everything comes to this one thing: were you obedient? Because that's what sin is disobedience. Are you with me? Whereas obedience is the opposite of disobedience. Sin is disobeying God. So therefore, when we come to this area of God, Christ saying, I have sent you. I've got a command. I want you to do something. We should be conscious of it. As a church, we need to fulfill the Great Commission. It should be the heartbeat of the church. We should be worried whether we're going. That's the first thing. Where are we going? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I look at this place, but greater is that you're so conscious that you have missionaries out of this church that are going. I think of my brother David, and I think of brother Trini. Sorry, Trini. For some reason, I can never remember your name. Brother Trini and other missionaries, that Brother Hawk, Those are guys out of this church that this church is sending. Go. That is the commission being fulfilled out of this church. Now, yes, sometimes God will use these methods too. But if we don't have these and we don't have men, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. You have to understand that. The Great Commission must be fulfilled. God will never prosper church if it was not fulfilling the Great Commission. Even when I left the church in Arica, Chile, we had 5 missionaries that we were supporting. We never had one except me. But we never had a missionary. But that church was not a fulfilled church until we finally put a pastor in there. And that pastor now became, because until I left, I was still a mission run by a missionary. But the missionary has to put all these rules in place, all these things in place. Matter of fact, I'm taking the laws of the church with me so that I can start doing the laws of the church in Chile using your laws here. A missionary has to do that, but we have to have a building. We can't, I'm telling you, we cannot. You have to have a place. It's a local church. And someone said, where is the Maranatha Baptist Church? Well, somewhere. They were renting over here, now they're renting over there. See, that's what I'm saying. We have to have a local church. And God has laid this on my heart this time. We need to. Me and Amy bought the property. Cost us money. But this is all our money goes into the work. I know this one thing. I know you don't believe this, but it does. I have nothing to gain. God feeds me well. Look, do I look like I'm starving? No, I'm not starving. My clothes, my ties, usually just this precious lady brought Amy a gift. People dress us. And then Hermana Maria Garza told us, she knows a place that sells clothes at discounts, real thing. She goes, what I'm trying to say is God takes care of us. Amen. He really does. But it's a job for us is the work. You saw the people getting saved. You saw how many kids there are. We have to do this thing. And like I said, in Arica, I don't know, my daughter just put all bunch of, but that is one of the programs. We have vacation Bible schools. We have youth camps. We have, all this costs money. The people don't give. Do you understand this or not? Please understand me. I'm not trying to beg money. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for support, prayer, and understanding. What I'm trying to say is we have to fulfill the commission. When we go to the mission field, we have to do the work. We can't just sit down and expect nothing, do nothing, expect something to happen. It has to be done. And I realize something. It's nice to have somebody to go to here and say, brother, how you doing? How's the work down here? Oh, let me show you. Let me brag on what's happening down here. Let me show you the mission field. See, most people go to Europe, have vacations and other places. Brother, it is exciting on the mission field. It really is. I wish I could take you up to the mountains of Peru and show you what's going on and take you to a conference. The Peruvian preachers up there in the mountains really do love to preach. And there's fire going on. There's the works down there. I wish I could take you to Arica, Chile and show you how we built that church and what the design was and show you the people. I wish I could take you to Tacna and show you my dreams and show you the places that can be done. But how nice it would be for someone to come and say, I was there. I was with him. I heard his vision. I always beg someone just come. And I did that to Brother Larry. He said, Brother Rose, I know you're doing a good job. You just go on. I said, how do you know? You were never here. That's 2 months later, he was there. He showed up with his dad. He showed up with Brother Trini and showed up with Brother David. And, brother, it was the greatest week of my life. I loved it. I was so thankful. So at least he went. He knew what we were doing, what our vision was. He knew some of the people, and some of the people fell in love with him. What I'm trying to say is, brethren, first of all, I want to say this. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. If you see me sitting there with a scowl on my face, Amy says, you've got to stop that. You've got to smile more. People think you're angry. I'm not. I'm very happy. I'm just getting old, I guess. But I love my job, and I want to thank this church, my home church, Town East Baptist Church. I really thank you, Pastor Russell, for keeping me on. Thank you, brethren, for praying for me. I know you do. And I would just like to end with this thought. My Barbie, keep her in thoughts, please. She does need support. Now you say, well, why don't you support her? Well, I have a hard enough time. It's hard. Barbie does a lot of mission work, by the way. She does the same as we do. She has all those kids. She buys them candy. She buys them this. Sometimes those kids come, they don't even have shoes. And she'll take them over to the market and buy them shoes. It costs money. Do you understand? And she only gets $500 a month. So some people don't realize that's hard. She needs to come back, but she just has a heart problem. And I'm just saying, pray for her. Help her out sometimes, once in a while, you know, send her a love offering, something like this. I'm not saying this for myself. I'm saying it for my Barbie. She needs to know that we love her, and we're behind her, and we're pushing her ministry. I want to thank, that's all I'm doing. I just wanted you to know where my heart is. I love my job. I love this church. I really do love this church. We saw the funeral through the live feed, and it was hard. It was very hard. It hurt us real bad. We loved our pastor, brother, as I will always love you. But I knew Brother Larry. I knew him for years. I knew him before he was the pastor. I love Brother Joe. Oh, I love Brother Joe. He was my father. He was my daddy. Brother Joe West, when I had a heart attack, he was in there. He was saying, come on, son, wake up. I was in a coma. And it was Brother Joe that kept insisting, get up, get up. He was my true father. He was a good father. So when we lose people like that, it's hard. But when you're not here, you can't share in the grief. Here I can share it with you and let you know I love my pastor. And I love this church. And I did grieve. But we know one thing, he's not gone. Brother Larry's just coming right back. He's coming with Jesus. He's coming with one of those white horses. Amen. I can't wait to see Brother Joe. I just can't wait to see what company he's with. Goodness gracious. I mean, he's going to be with those great companies, brother. Joe West, goodness gracious, what a man. What a man of faith. I love my pastors, and I love this church. So may, thank you, and I'm going to leave it out there, brother. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' precious name, thank you for this time that you've given me to share these thoughts with my church. I ask you, Father, that you would bless this church, bless this congregation. Father, may we always have a vision that's always on the outward, never on the inward. Help us recognize our responsibilities, Father, towards the fields that are white already under harvest. Now, Father, into your hands I commit this time in Jesus' name.